Please open your Bibles to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 22, in your Scofield Bible, page 1031, beginning with the 35th verse. We'll read through verse 40, Matthew chapter 22, verses 35 through 40. We'll read these verses responsively. The 37th verse is one of our text verses, and we'll turn to yet another verse after the reading of this passage. Let's stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Turn now to John chapter 13, verse 35, page 1135 in your Scofield Bible. John 13, 35. Let's read verses 34 and 35. Ready? A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. And let's pray. And Father, thank you for this great and inexhaustible book. Thank you for that which you reveal to us of its truths through our being here at First Baptist Church on a faithful basis. Thank you for our preacher who gets from thee that which we need. And we certainly ought to stop and appreciate the fact that we have the right kind of church, the right kind of preacher, the right kind of Bible. Thank you so much. You've been good to us. Help us to return to thee that which is due from us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Fellow's got a wife, that little ought to have two of them. Two half dollars makes a dollar, you know. And I love to hear her sing, I'll tell you for sure. First time I ever heard her, I said, no way. It's just no way that kind of pipes can be in that little machine. I mean, just no way. That's beautiful. My favorite song, of course. Tonight, I want you to... We're going to play in my yard tonight. No, you don't know what I mean. You don't know what I mean. That's your yard you're talking about. We're playing in my yard tonight. And you're going to have to listen carefully because we're going to play with my toys instead of yours. And most of the time I come over to your house to play and I talk your language. But tonight, for much of my sermon, I'm going to talk my language. And you're going to have to listen carefully. Those of you who don't think much are not going to think much of this sermon tonight. But those of you who do think, both of you, you will say this is one of the best sermons that I ever preached, because I'm going to tax your mind tonight. I'm a Democrat. I'm going to tax you tonight. But I want you to listen. I want to speak tonight on the subject, love is not a response or a reaction. Or the title could be this, just in case you want to really love. I doubt if you do. I want everybody in this house to listen to every word I say. I want your teenagers now, just look right up here. I want you to quit piddling around. I want you to quit fiddling with your purse. I want you to quit writing notes to your girlfriend or boyfriend. I want you to sit right still. And I want everybody to listen carefully. Now, honestly, I try to be a teenager to our teenagers, and I try to act like a teenager behind the pulpit. At Vacation Bible School, I'm as childish as the smallest child here. But every once in a while, I think you owe it to me to come over my yard to play. And you owe it to me to listen to what I'm going to say. I'm going to preach a sermon tonight, the kind of sermons I'd like to preach all the time. And it's on just in case you want to really love our Heavenly Father. I sure would like to have everybody's attention tonight. I'm going to give a little graduate study tonight. This is not kindergarten stuff. This is not even undergraduate study. This is graduate study tonight. And I pray you'd help everybody to listen to every word, because I do believe I can help the people tonight, or you can through me. Make it so. Amen. Love is the badge of identification for a Christian. Jesus said, are you listening? John 13:35, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, that you love one another. You don't have to hate people to be a fundamentalist. Now, you'll be a better fundamentalist if you do. But somebody needs to remind, and by the way, there's not a fundamentalist in this country that's any stricter than Brother Hines, not a one. But if this Bible teaches anything, it teaches the love of Christ. The verse of the Bible, if God has a Bible verse, for God so loved the world. So love is the badge of identification for a child of God. Does not say, by this shall all men know you're my disciples, because you have a proper set of standards. And nobody's more for standards than I am. But I'm not for standards without love. Some of our preacher boys go out of here and they get my standards and go out and preach and get kicked out of the church the first month they're there, because somehow they got the standards and didn't get the love that goes forth from this pulpit here. Love is the greatest of all the commandments. Matthew 22:37. They said, which is the greatest commandment? Jesus said, the greatest commandment is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, body, and soul. And the second is like unto the first, to love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, I want to remind you, one of the commandments is thou shalt not steal. But love is a greater commandment than that. I want to remind you, one of the commandments is thou shalt not kill. But love is a greater commandment than that. I want to remind you that one of the commandments is thou shalt not commit adultery. But love is a greater commandment than that. My Bible says, my Savior says, that the greatest commandment of all is to love the Lord thy God with all thy mind, with thy shirt unbuttoned. And to love thy neighbor as thyself. Love is the greatest of all commandments, and love is also the greatest of all duties. And now about of faith, hope, charity, same word in the Greek, love. But the greatest of these is not faith. The greatest of these is not hope. The greatest of all commandments and the greatest of all Christian duties is to love. We're commanded to love God. We're commanded to love each other. We're commanded to love our enemies. We're commanded to love our neighbors. We are commanded to love those that hate us. My two criticisms that are hardest to take, of all the criticisms I get, number one, the criticism that I'm shallow. Now, I'm not the deepest person in the world, but I'm not the shallowest person in the world either. If there's some guy that wades all the time, to call a swimmer shallow irritates the fire out of me. And the second criticism I hate the most is when somebody says, I don't have love. There's more love in that little finger than is in Cardinal Bernardine's body. Now, how is this love acquired? First, may I say, it is not selfish. If it is not selfish, it is not love. If it is selfish, it is not love. Quite the contrary. Listen carefully. Love causes more pain than not loving. Real Bible love causes more pain than not loving. If you don't want to suffer, don't love. Bible love, with Bible love. Now I'm going to make tonight, let's see how many statements I'm going to make. I'm going to make 18 statements. I'm going to read them to you. And I want you to listen to every word I say. And I'll make a few comments about a few of them. Number one, it is sad but true that most people cannot define love or depth. Because most people do not know its vocabulary, and most people do not know its qualities or expressions when they see them or hear them. Number two, so there are few people who are to recognize love. So love most always goes unnoticed and unappreciated and unreturned. The people in this room tonight who love the most are not loved the most. Because love is real love. I'm not talking about Hollywood lust. I'm not talking about the garbage of I'll love you if you love me. I'm not talking about that. I'm saying real Bible love is unrecognized and unrecognizable by 99% of the people in the world, and most of the people perhaps in this room tonight. So then, the loving, number three, the loving are seldom loved as much as they love. Number four, the deep go through life branded as shallow, because no one is qualified to measure their depth. Let me say it again. The deep go through life shallow because no one, listen to me, I want you to get that disinterested look off your faces and listen to me. Some of you preacher boys, you need this a lot more than you need me to preach against movies tonight. You're going to go out and stumble and fall because you have got the foggiest idea of what love is. And you're going to want your church to love you without any concern about loving your people. And you're going to think love is a selfish thing that is negotiated for. And you're going to fail. Few, number five, few have the eyes to see or the ears to hear what true love is all about. Number six, that means if you do love truly, you will go through life misunderstood. Now listen to this. You will go through life misunderstood by those who think you misunderstand. If you love according to Bible love, you will go through life misunderstood by those who think you misunderstand. Number seven, so the farther you walk in love, the lonelier will be your walk. That's why I call one of the title, just in case you want to really love. And it may be you don't want to really love. See, most of you want to be loved. But the kind of love you want is not Bible love. But in case you want to really love, you're going to go through life lonelier every day that you love more. Number eight, the deeper you love, the less love you will feel. Because the deeper you love, the fewer people are that deep. And the love that you give cannot be returned. And you'll find yourself hungry for somebody to love you like you love them. But this garbage the world calls love,
and the garbage the liberal calls love, and the garbage the modernist calls love. Love, let the world go to hell, don't tell them about it. Let the world wreck their lives of sin, don't warn them about it. That kind of love is not Bible love. And the deeper you go in love, the less loved you'll feel, because the fewer people will be qualified to love you as you love them. We're playing in my yard tonight. Number 9, don't miss it. You cannot be accredited as a lover by the University of Love, because the accrediting association is too shallow to judge. That means the world will not call you a lover if you have real, real love. Because the world knows nothing about the love of God, because the word agape in the Bible is a Greek word that was made just to describe the love of God. And if that love flows through you, the world will not recognize it. And so the University of Love in this world will not accredit you as being a lover, because the accrediting association knows nothing about real Bible godly love. Number 10. The more you love, the more you will hurt, because your love is unrecognized, unreturned, and unwanted. Number 11. So if you have love, you will not be known as one who loves, because so few can understand your language. The local ministerial association hadn't got enough love to understand that I love. The liberal that doesn't believe this Bible is not born again. He's not born again. The love of Christ can't be in him, because the love of Christ comes in at salvation. So the liberal says, I don't have love. I say, he doesn't have love. And the modernist says, I don't have love. I say, he doesn't have love. He hadn't got enough love to keep his church open on Sunday night to feed his people from the Word of God. He hadn't got enough love to warn his people that rock music came out of hell and they'll wreck their lives if they don't get out of it. He hadn't got enough love to remind the ladies in his church that if they go around there strip half naked, that they're going to cause men to lust and cause people to commit adultery. He hadn't got enough love to warn his people about that, because he doesn't have the love of God, because he's not born. Hey, wake that sailor up back, a fellow up back there leaning against that. Wake him up. Wake up. We're having church here. It's not a slumber party. Wake up. Man, I've worked hard to give you this, and it's an insult to me if you don't get it. And that's love. I'd like to change your life. I can't change your life. You're having a slumber party. If you're going to go to sleep, bring a blanket and a quilt. Bring a sleeping bag. Maybe she's sitting beside you now. I'm saying the world does not have the credentials to understand love if it sees it. The hellfire and brimstone preacher is the fellow has the most love. The person that warns you about your sins is the one that has the most love. Number 12, likewise concerning generosity. If you are generous, you will not be recognized as such, because it will be assumed that you're wealthy. Nobody can comprehend a fellow giving away all he has. Nobody can understand true unselfishness. And so people assume that you're wealthy. I got a letter the other day. Fellow wanted me to send him, I don't even know him. Wanted me to send him $35,000 to pay off his house. Took us 30 years to pay off our house. It took me 3 years to pay off our crypt at the mausoleum. Got it paid off same month, by the way. Either way, we got a place to stay. Same month, boy. Paid both of them off. You can't lose that way. I mean, my dwelling place, either way, is all paid for. Number 13. If you are deep, don't miss it. If you are deep, you will not be known as deep, because you must be deep enough to convey depth to the simple. Jesus took the deep truths of eternity and clothed them in little stories. A man went forth to sow, a boy ran off from home, A lady lost calling. Fella got beaten on the road to Jericho, and the Good Samaritan came by and helped him. Jesus took the greatest truths known to mankind, look at me and listen to me, and clothed them in simplicity until the Pharisees, who didn't have enough depth to know how to transfer depth, called him shallow. Number 14, if you have the courage of conviction, you'll be misunderstood as stubborn. A fellow says, this is what I believe this Bible is the Word of God, and I'm not going to change it. Say, oh boy, he sure is stubborn. No, he's not stubborn, he has convictions. But people that don't have any convictions call it stubbornness. Because you don't stand for anything, and that's why you fall for everything. Let me define stubbornness. Stubbornness is when you hold the same strictness over a preference that you should hold over a conviction. When you stand for what is a conviction, that's not stubbornness. When you stand for what's a preference, that's being stubborn. Number 13. 14, 15, 16, 17. Stand for our benediction. Number 15. Impatience is being as impetuous over a preference as you should be over a conviction. If a guy stands up and says, I believe that Jesus is the virgin-born Son of God, I believe that liquor is of the devil, I think dope is of the devil, rock music is the devil, oh, they say, he loses his patience. No, he doesn't. Patience is when you have the same attitude toward your little petty preferences. That's impatience. Impatience is when you have the same attitude toward a preference as you should have toward a conviction. Number 16. If you are profound, you will not be known as profound because people only see the vehicle and not the truth it transports. Number 17. If you are unselfish, you will not be known as unselfish because people can only judge your motives by what would prompt them to do the same act. Well, that's good if you just get it. Number 18, don't get your shoes on yet, ladies. After 18, there's some observations. If you have joy, you'll not be known as having joy because you must be judged by a world, listen to this, who only has happiness caused by pleasing of the senses rather than a joy that is not caused, but it's given. You don't get joy because you see something you lack. You don't get joy because you touch something you lack. You don't get joy because you taste something you lack. You don't get joy because you hear something you lack. Joy is not earned. Joy is not caused. It is given by God Almighty. And since it is given and not earned and not a response, you can't lose it because God gives it. So, love, as does all virtue, causes pain. Real, Bible, godly love, because of what I've said tonight. If you really love, you will not be called a lover by this world. If you really love, you will not feel as loved as you would feel as you don't really love. As if you don't really love. If you are real generous, you'll not be recognized as generous by the world. However, there is a great advantage to love. One, the deeper you love, the more you can be alone with Him who is the source of love, who can give you the love that you offer. There's going to be a time in your life, you young people especially, if you continue to grow in the real love of God, there's going to be a time when there won't be any place that you can have that love returned except from God Himself. There may be some people in the world that can return that love, but they're not everywhere. And probably there'd be nobody in your little circumference of friends who can return your love in kind. But praise God, the good thing about it is you can walk up to God and you can give to Him a love that is nearer like His love. And you will be alone with Him more, who can give to you the love that you offer. And the more you will understand Him whose love is never returned in kind. Nobody ever loves God back like He loves them. Nobody. An old story. Told it often. Illustrates it perfectly. It's graduation night. Dave Hiles was the youth director here. We had commencement. I went back to my office. I was having an appointment with one of our seniors. Dave knocked on the door. I went to the door and Dave was crying uncontrollably. And he said, "Dad, I got to see you. I got to see you. It's an emergency." I said, "Son, I'm in an appointment. I can't see you." He said, "Dad, trust me. I've got to see you right now." And tears streaming down his cheeks. I said, "Okay." I asked the appointment to stay in my office. I went across with Dave to Miss McKinney's office. I said, what's wrong, Doc? Is it Mother? Is it one of your sisters? What's wrong? What's wrong?" He could not speak. Finally, after he got a hold of himself, after literally throbbing and sobbing, Dave said, "Dad, I've loved those kids that just graduated." Brother Lapina knows what I'm talking about, because he loves them that way. And I do too. But Dave said, "Dad, I've loved them, and I've loved them, and I've loved them, and Dad, I had to get immediately with somebody who could love me back as much as I love them." And I said, "Doc, you found him." But I said, "That's why your dad is alone a lot. Because I want to give Jesus as much as I can, as near as possible, the same love that he gives to me back to himself. I cannot do it until I awaken his likeness, but praise God, listen, the more the liberals say I don't have love, the more Jesus says I do have love. And the less my love is understood by heathen, godless Hollywood, Broadway, television, radio, movie house, HBO, movie channel, society, the less they think I love, praise God, that means the more love I have, and the more like the love of God I have, and the more near His love I can give back to Him." Listen carefully. Why then do so few people really love? If you hang on in my yard, I'm coming to your yard for a few minutes after a while. Why do so few people really love? One, to most, love is a reflex. Young people, listen to me. To most people, love is a reflex. It is a response. A reaction, and something that cannot be given without a response. That, ladies and gentlemen, is not love. Love is not a reaction. Love is not a response. Love is not a reciprocation. Love is not a reflex. To them, love is a response or a mutual agreement rather than a unilateral decision. Love, ladies and gentlemen, is not a response. It is when you yourself decide to obey God and love. And if that love is not returned, and if you stop loving, it's not Bible love. Love never faileth. I said love never faileth. Hollywood love fails. Television love fails. Broadway love fails. Public school love fails. Secular university love fails. Humanist love fails. Psychiatrist love fails. But the love of God never fails. And that means if you love somebody with a love that is God-given, you will love them until you breathe the last breath you breathe on this world, on this earth, and you will love them in heaven. Love is to the world something that cannot be given unless received, and cannot be retained unless returned. Most people to whom love is a response fall by the wayside to walk with those to whom love is also a response and achieved by arbitration. Real love cannot be quenched by human action. Neither can it be started by human action. Now, I'm coming over to your yard to play. What does all this mean? Translation to your language. I like you if you like me. Hog wash. Or hog wash. I said hogwash. That is pagan love. I did that when I was in grade school. Jean Muller, my first little girlfriend. Dear Jean, I like you. I'll like you if you will like me. And most of you have never gotten past that first grade note I wrote to Jean Muller. She wrote back and said, Dear Jack, I like you. And Harry. Harry LeGrone, I've hated his guts ever since. But that's the way you love. If you don't love me, I won't love you. And that is not love. That is the world's love. I'm talking your language now. This is what it means. If you don't like me, I don't like you either. I'll be your friend if you'll be mine. But if you won't be my friend, I won't be yours. Before you laugh too much, that's the way you live. All you got to do is have somebody that you say you love to mistreat you a time or two, and it's all over. And that's as wicked as liquor. That's as wicked as homosexuality. That's as queer as lesbianism is. That is not Bible love. Now you expect it from the world, but it's time you, some of you folks grew up. What does all this stuff I've been saying mean? I like you because you're pretty. That's why I like Jean. I like you because you're pretty. I love you because you're pretty. Now you listen to me. Some of you rascals are going to spend your life living in a hell on earth because you're loving somebody because their nose happens to be the right size and is placed at the right spot on their cranium. I'd rather have somebody that knows real love who has a wart on her nose, or her nose is a wart, whose eyes look at each other, and whose lips look like a Grand Canyon. Oh, it was love at first sight. That is so stupid, it's pitiful. There's no such thing as love at first sight. The moment I saw her, I flipped. You'll unflip. You wait till that 22-inch waistline is 44. And you're going to live in hell one of these days. Some little spoiled brat. Listen to me, young folks. Get your beauty from Mary Kay, Avon. After a while, she'll get it from Fannie Mae. Life! 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 Crowd, life! You'll be sorry. I put it in your language. If you hurt me, I'm going to hurt you back. It was a Fort Worth Star Telegram. Picture was on the front page. The guy was dead. His wife had just shot him. The gun was still smoking. She was bending over his body holding the gun saying, "Oh, how I loved you." I don't want that kind of love. Some of you folks, you get peeved every time you don't get your way. Won't you fall in love with Jesus? Disgruntled. Unhappy with things that don't go your way. Let me tell you something. Real love never faileth. I said never faileth. Your language. You liked it better in my language and you couldn't understand it, didn't you? I just love her. See, she's so nice. That's worldly love. Love loves her if she's not nice. Your language. And I'm so sick of this one, I want to pick up Keith McKinney and throw him. I'm not going to do it because I'd get dirty. I don't have a car, Jack. I hear this in my office till I want to spit. I just don't love you anymore. That is foreign to the love of God. I said foreign to the love of God. Your language. My love has grown cold. No love grows cold. No love stops. Love suffereth long and is kind. Your language. You have drained me of all my love. It didn't take long. You folks haven't laughed yet. Go home. Tired of looking at you. There are plenty of churches that you'd like, except they're not having service tonight. If they are, they can't take an offering. They haven't got enough ushers. You got that garbage. I'll like you if you'll like me. If you don't like me, I don't like you. I like you because you're pretty. If you hurt me, I'll hurt you. I just love her because she's so nice. I don't love you anymore. My love has grown cold. You've drained my love. You got that from HBO and Hollywood and Broadway and the Movie Channel and Cinemax and Showtime and CBS and ABC and NBC and David Letterman and Dick Cavett and Oprah Winfrey and Donahue and Reggie and Kathy Lee and Mary Lou and Mike and Maddie and Gordon Elliott and Suzanne Summers and Rolanda and Pike Lake and Jerry Springer and Geraldo and Mari Povich and Jesse Raphael and Montel Williams. And if you know what I'm talking about, you're not right with God. And John Stewart and Tom Snyder and Larry King and MTV and Sesame Street and Golden Girls and Young and Restless and All My Children and Another World and As the World Turns and A Guiding Light, The General Hospital, Hawaiian 5-0, Inside Edition, American Journal, Hard Copy, Barney and Friends, Beverly Hills, Family Matters, Lonesome Dove, Boy Meets World, Under Suspicion, Censored Bloopers, Tonight Show, Hanging with Mr. Cooper, Late Show, Murphy Brown, Three's Company, Current Affair, Benny Hill, 17 Magazine,
The Ladies' Home Journal, Cosmopolitan, Solid Rock Video, Current Affair, Video Marketplace, and Harold Stern, and that is not Bible love. And ladies and gentlemen, we are being affected by it because you're watching that garbage, and it's coming into your home, this synthetic love, and the average person in this room knows nothing about the love of God. Now, how can I have this love of God? Good night, you have it. You have it. If you're saved, you got it. Now use it. Dispense it. Five things, I'll just list them. One, walk with Him who is the dispenser. Two, walk with dispensers. Don't walk with crabs. Don't walk with disgruntles. Don't walk with gossips. Don't walk with critics. Walk with those who dispense the love of Christ. Three, read from dispensers. Number four, listen to dispensers. Number five, read from the source. And now about a faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. Get the tape. Listen to it carefully back in the early parts of the sermon. And learn what real love is all about. Our Heavenly Father.